Morning. It's good to be here, and God is still on the throne. We're going to pray. Father, we're thankful. We're thankful. God, it's in this time in our country today, Lord, there's all the stuff going on, but Lord, you're still moving mightily in the lives of people, your sons, your daughters. God, you're drawing people to you all the time. Father, there's a stirring in this country today, Lord, like hasn't been in a while, Lord. And I think God, we are literally entering a time where the harvest is right around the corner. So, Lord, we're thankful today that we can gather with our brothers and sisters, and your word would be anointed and stir hearts today, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd be stirred up in us, Lord, and we're asking you to move mightily today, Lord. And when we get done, Lord, there be opportunity for many who are sick to be healed today in Jesus' name. Thank you. And, you know, there's a lot of talk. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 6, there's all this stuff going on in the world we hear a lot about this warfare. How many really believe they're in a war? Anybody? War? Spiritual war. How many are under attack? Anybody in here under attack? Couple, three, four, yeah. Well, we're going to talk about that because it's time that the Holy Spirit, we ask the Holy Spirit to be stirred up in us. If you're born of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit is in you and you're saved. But the Bible says we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. And this day and age, I sense we're in a time like we've never seen. Azusa Street. Anybody ever heard of Azusa Street? Azusa Street is where, in 1907, a couple of guys who, Bartleman and Seymour, they were so overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit in the little town of Azusa down in L.A. that the power of God would literally move and stir up a revival. Their history is they had found out about what was going on in the Welsh revival, and the Welsh revival that was back in the 1890s was so powerful. It was in Wales, and this revival was amazing because what happened is the whole area was taken over by God, literally taken over by God, and it was taken over by God by a bunch of 16, 17-year-old kids that said, "We want God." And they prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and interceded and cried out to God for quite a while. All of a sudden, a young man named Evan Roberts was speaking in a church. The power of God came, and the whole place got taken out in the Spirit. When Seymour and Bartleman and these guys heard about this, they wanted this to come to America. And literally the whole town in Wales, what happened is there was so much, you know, it was a coal mining town. And what happened is that the horses responded to the negative cussing words when they hauled the coal. The whole town, all the taverns, there was all full of bars and taverns, and it was just a mess. But within a short time, guess what happened? The horses wouldn't respond because the men quit cussing. The taverns were shut down and turned into prayer rooms and into churches. And there was an amazing revival that happened in Wales. It went all over, and it came to America in Azusa Street. Last night on TV, a man named Lou Engle, anybody heard of Lou Engle? Lou Engle. He rented the Coliseum. In fact, the story goes, I think he sold his house to get enough cash to rent the Coliseum. He rented the whole thing, and I didn't watch much of it, but I guess there was about 50,000 people there that showed up, and they had quite a revival. Revival's coming to America in a powerful way, but it's going to be different. And we need to realize that God is pouring out His Spirit. It's all done by the Spirit. And Steve and myself and a bunch of men are meeting, and we just finished a book called The Anointing. It's by R.T. Kendall, one of Steve's favorite authors. And in this book, at the end of the book, R.T. Kendall says, God is in the process. This is a prophetic word of marrying the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. It's time that the Holy Spirit got hooked up with the Word of God, because we've had dispensational teaching in this country in many forms that has said that the gifts and the Spirit ceased with the prophets and the Holy Spirit is no longer a big deal. Well, let me tell you, God is a Spirit, and if we're going to get to know God, we better know the Holy Spirit. In fact, it says in John chapter 14 that he says he leaves us the comforter. We know, we hear the word comforter. The Holy Spirit's just kind of he comforts us. Well, believe you me, he's a little more than a comforter. He's a convictor. How's that sound? He's a deliverer. He's the healer. He's the intercessor. He stands with us. He's our advocate. And he literally is with us. And the question I have today is, let's turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. It says, "For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere." Your Bible does not say that because unless you have an amplified Bible. But the amplified Bible, those are all the words. And you and I are in a war, a spiritual war, and we're literally living in it as Christians. And if we do not embrace the Holy Spirit, embrace it. I'm not talking just about getting a little touch from it. I'm talking about literally embracing it. Having our spirit so flooded with it that we literally begin to think and make our choices based on it. This is not an original thought. In fact, I was reading a book by John Paul Jackson, who was gone, and it was one of the last things he wrote. We have to embrace the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit. We no longer can function in Christians just reading the Word. We have to take the Word in and let the Spirit infuse it in our hearts. Why? Well, I'll read one of these verses. It says, "Therefore, put on the complete armor of God that you may be able to resist and stand your ground." How are we going to stand our ground if we don't have the Holy Spirit brooding, moving, touching in our spirits when we take a stand? When the enemy comes at us, how are we going to do it? You can't do it unless the Holy Spirit's in you. Because the evil one has designed a system that comes against us. But the evil one was defeated where? He was defeated on the cross. And we have complete, total authority in the Spirit as Jesus Christ gave it to us to do it. We got to do it. And this church that has to rise up out of this mess is going to rise up. God said He's going to have a church that the gates of hell will not prevail against. But we're watching more. I'm watching more of these. I'm older than most in here. And I'm watching all these old Christians kind of fade off into the sunset. Because when God asks them to get with it and get to know Him and get to walk deep in His heart and get to know Him and understand Him, to intercede and pray and do what He's asked them to do, guess what they do? Well, you know, I'll let this younger generation do it. Believe you me, do they know how to do it? No. Because most of the younger generation was not taught how to pray, how to intercede, how to get close to God. Now this younger generation, they're kind of getting it. Because they've realized that mom and dad's old-time religion don't work. And they're going to if they want to get in it, they're getting more confronted today than I was when I was a kid. And they're going to have to learn who this God is. We have got to get to know this God so literally we can literally live up to what it says in Deuteronomy 6:5. You shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, and everything. Well, how are you going to love Him if you don't know Him? You can't love Him up here. It comes out of here. And how does it get in here? You have to say, Holy Spirit, reveal who you are. Who is God? We got so many people running around, well, I know this God, I know that God. There's all these created gods. You know, our president said America is no longer a Christian nation. That was sad when I heard that. It really broke my heart. He says, now we're a nation of many religions. And I thought to myself, when you said that, what you did is you invited all the gods of the world to come into our country because we were fathered and designed and built by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we have a man standing up there saying, we're no longer a Christian nation. Really? I think we're a Christian nation. But the problem is we've kind of walked away from this presence in the Spirit. You read the testimonies of some of these old guys back in the history, and some of these men had the most amazing testimonies of what God did to them, the Holy Spirit did. There's revivals clear back in the 1700s. Hey, there's been stuff going on forever that most people don't even know about. You have to search it out and find out what happened in these revivals. Everybody in America should know what happened in Azusa Street, I believe. It's the most important, one of the most important things that's ever happened in this whole country. Praise God for Lou Engle bringing it up again. I was excited. He's done other things. Steve was out a deal in, where is that, in Tennessee, what, several years ago where they walked the streets? Well, it was a long time, a few years ago, they had a deal, Lou Engle had a deal down in Nashville, and they walked the streets. And they didn't speak a word. They just prayed and walked up and down the streets. And the power of God was strong. And thousands of people came to that. Why? Because some men are willing to take a stand. They have the armor on and take a stand. And the stand, one of the words the Comforter means is stand by. God will stand by you no matter what you're going through. I don't care if you're young, old, where you are. God will stand by you. He'll stand there. He's got your back. One of the other words that is advocate. Anybody here know what an advocate is? Anybody ever use a lawyer? That's what an advocate is. Hey, hi Dave, way in the back there. Yeah, you know what an advocate is. What's our advocate do? He speaks for us. He speaks to us and he speaks for us. That's what lawyers do. And he defends us. Now, if I've got the Holy Spirit defending me, what have I got to worry about? Not much. And see, we have to realize what the Holy Spirit's about. It's not just some comforter that's going to hold me in his arms and comfort me. Yeah. That's not who he is. He's going to stand with me. He's also my intercessor. He intercedes for me that I will hear from heaven and be obedient to what heaven's telling me to do. This is the kind of God we got. And he set us up amazingly to live in a place where you and I are to function by every decision you and I make should be run through the Holy Spirit. Every choice. That's a hard one in this country. We don't think about that anymore. Just do it. You know, we live in a culture that says just do it. Just do it. Well, wait a minute. What does God want us to do? Oh, we don't need Him. We'll just do what we want to do, right? Isn't that pretty much where we live? Huh? So kind of how I see it. Do whatever I want to do. Say whatever I want to say. Look at Facebook. Look at Facebook. Look at Twitter. Look at all that stuff. It's pathetic. Say what you want to say about anybody. You don't care. There's no accountability. Guess what? With the Holy Spirit and with the Lord, you are accountable. How are we going to handle that program? Accountability? Hello? It's nowhere. That's what's happened. And here we are. We're Christians, and we're supposed to put this armor on and take a stand. Stand, stand, stand. Take a stand for God. When the enemy comes after you, can you take a stand? Are you afraid to tell him no? Are you afraid to look at somebody and say, well, my, and they start, they start getting on your case. They start attacking you. I spend some time in the institutions, in prisons. And I teach men in prison. I said, what happens when some guy accuses you? What do? You get in a fight in prison, guess where you go? You go to the hole. And it's a little dark room, and it is the hole. And there's no communication. You get out, you get to walk around for an hour a day, and that's it. They shut you in there, and you're in there. You may be in there a week, month, year, who knows? What happens to guys that go to the hole? Guess what most of them do? They get a hold of a Bible, they begin praying. Well, you can have a Bible in there, that's good. The hole's not a bad place for me because guess what? They get to go in there and sit in there and do their thing because they get to know God because they come out different. And see, the other thing is if we don't want to wait on our God, we just do whatever. But if you get in a beef, are we willing to take a stand and say, no, my elder brother is Jesus. And for me, I'm going to take a stand to what he wants to do. You want to get me in an argument, in a fight? And then I'm going to ask them, I said, do you know Jesus? And they're going to get on my case and give me a whole bunch of heat about it. So what? They don't know Christ. And guess what? They need to know him, don't they? And you and I, everyone in this room knows someone that needs to know Jesus. You all got them in your life. You got them working with them. They're all around. They're in your neighborhood. You got crabby, cranky neighbors. You got crabby, cranky workers, you got crabby, cranky bosses, you got crabby, cranky people everywhere. They're everywhere, 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 and they don't know Jesus. They don't have any peace in their life. They don't know one thing about God. They don't know how to enter his rest. They don't know how because no one's helped them understand. Guess what we're supposed to do as Christians? Teach them, help them, encourage them. Walk with them. Give them hope. You know how many people are roaming around out there today that are hopeless? Start talking to a 21 or 22-year-old kid. Most of them are hopeless. Hopeless. Why? Because they don't know God. And I'm not talking about going to church. I'm talking about they don't know God. You can go to church your whole life and not know God. Seriously, you can go there all, because if the Holy Spirit isn't being preached, teached, walked in, and the presence of God isn't in the house, you're not going to get to know him. You're going to get to know about the church. And we got hundreds of religions that teach about different churches. We're not interested in this religious church. We're interested in Jesus Christ being in our church and in our lives and all around us, wherever we go. Wherever we go. Because we, according to 1 Corinthians 3:16, are what? The temples of the Holy Spirit. He chose to dwell in us. God created us for one person, or for one reason, to get to know Him, and that we would be the temples of the Holy Spirit. So wherever we went, that's what Jesus did. Guess what we touch? We touch people's lives. Right? Amen. Heal the sick. Cast out devils. Raise the dead. What it says in Matthew 10. We're so far away from that, it's scary. Most people don't want to pray for anybody. Well, we got to get the super Christians to do it. We'll get Pam and Chris and Karen and everybody else. Come on, everybody in this church should be praying for somebody. How do you know that? Because I grew up in the Vineyard, and that's what we learned. Vineyard's an old church movement that came. John Wimber'd come into a meeting. There'd be 5,000 people in there. He'd get them all standing up, and then he released the Holy Spirit. He said, "Now you go pray for somebody." I didn't have to go to school. I didn't have to get a PhD. I didn't have to go to seminary. I didn't have to go to Bible college. I didn't have to have 4 years of training, teaching. He just prayed for people, and we watched God move. That's how I learned. I don't know. We seem to be doing okay. I don't know how many thousands of people I prayed for, but a lot. And I've seen God heal them. I've seen Him touch them. I've seen everything in the world happen to them. And I've seen a lot of stuff I prayed for not happen. Do you know what do we do? Do we keep praying for them? Of course. What did Jesus? I mean, you know, the disciples said, we prayed for them. They didn't get healed. Well, what do? Quit, disciples? No. And see, the church has got to actually let the Holy Spirit guide them, direct them, so that they will be the ones that do what God called them to do. Phew, I got 3 pages here today. They ain't even got started yet. So, and by the way, this is not a lesson. I mean, I'm not here to beat anybody up. If you're here and say, "Man, that's crazy." Look, it's not crazy. It's the truth. See, the other problem is we're afraid of the truth. Who is the truth? Huh? Who is the truth? Jesus is the truth. Who's the way? He's the way. He's the truth. He's the Word. He's the living Word. Look at it this way. Some people say, "Well, I don't believe about this Holy Spirit." Well, is He the living Word? Is He filled with the Holy Spirit? So how the heck can you have the Word without the Spirit? Well, you got religious teachers teaching you can. It's crazy. How can you have the living Word, the Word, without the Spirit, when the Spirit is Christ? Doesn't make sense, see? It just doesn't make sense. And we're going to talk about one of the reasons why. Because the Holy Spirit's, people are afraid of the Holy Spirit. They are afraid. The key element in most of the Christians of being afraid of the Holy Spirit is fear. A lot of people are afraid, "Well, man, I can't control it." If it's the Holy Spirit, why would you want to control it? Huh? It's a spirit. You want to control God? He's a spirit. I mean, if you don't want the Holy Spirit, you want the Spirit. You want to have the Spirit. We've been trained this way, so we want to have the Spirit so we can control it. We don't want it getting out of hand, because, man, if it got out of hand, what would happen? What happened in Acts? Hello? What happened throughout the Bible? Come on. We're afraid of it. That's how it was in the old days. "Well, you're one of them charismatic guys. You under the Spirit, I'm afraid of you. Get away from me." You know, you walk into a certain kind of church, dispensational church, and you start talking about this stuff, they throw you out of there. Because they don't want to, you're of the devil. Really? Heal the sick, cast out devils, and raise the dead? No, I'm not of the devil, I'm of the Lord. That's what He did. See, the bottom line is, I mean, I got a question here. How can we become open if we fear we are not open But we want to be open. There's a fear in our hearts that if we receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit, something's going to happen to us. And I guarantee you, something is going to happen to you. Your heart's going to change. Why? Because what is the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Galatians 5:22. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, meekness, humility, brokenness, long-suffering, and self-control. You're right. You are going to change if you embrace the Holy Spirit. If you don't embrace the Holy Spirit, you can be a good person. But let me tell you, there's only one good person. What's his name? Jesus. So being good isn't the answer. It's being filled with the Spirit that's the answer. And the fear of being filled with the Holy Spirit and walking in the Spirit, knowing the Spirit, and literally letting the Spirit of God touch your heart wherever you go so you can touch hearts is the key element. How do you get filled with the Holy Spirit? I actually have points, Pam. You'd be proud of me. Point one. Be sure there is no unconfessed sin in your life. Be sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. So it means confess your sins. Ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. That's in 1 John 1:9. Be sure that there is no bitterness or grudges against anyone. Whoa, there you go. What other verse in the Bible do you remember talks about that? It's in Matthew 6. Jesus said, if you have aught against your brother, your father, he'll hear your prayer, but he won't move on him. You have to have forgiveness. You can't go around having bitterness and anger in your heart. One of the main interesting things about the institutions is this here is a major stronghold of men in prison. Bitterness, grudges, anger. Anger, grudges, and bitterness. And it's a hole, it's a trap where the past has a grip on your heart. It's there. And the Lord says, if you want the Holy Spirit to flow and function in your heart, they've got to go away. You can't have this kind of stuff. You can't keep it. And God says, get rid of it. How do you get rid of it? You say, Lord, I have this bitterness against so-and-so. Please set me free from it. I no longer want to hang on to it. I give it to you. Take it in Jesus' name. Simple prayer. It's easy. That's in Ephesians 4:31. It says, be sure that you don't speak against anyone. It's in James 3. We went through this whole deal with Steve here. What it takes about a year to get through James. He talked a lot about this. You can't have any offense, any kind of stuff against anyone. You got to say, Lord, I got this problem with so-and-so. Help me get rid of it. You pray and say, Lord, take it out of my heart. I don't want it anymore. Guess what God does? Does he take it away? Does he take it away or do you still hang on to it? You got to get rid of this stuff. I'm serious about this. Be sure you have a life of solid prayer and Bible reading. It's just so critical. See, one of the amazing things about the Holy Spirit, when you get with your Father in the secret place, and I preached about that several times, you probably don't want to hear about it again, but anyway, you go into your closet, you shut the door, and you wait, and your Father will come to you in secret. Who else is in there with you? The Holy Spirit. How are you going to get to know the Holy Spirit? Learn to pray. Learn to go into the secret place. This is where you're really going to get touched by the Holy Spirit, is in prayer. Because who is the teacher of all things about God? Is it man or the Holy Spirit? As the Holy Spirit is, that says in John 14, the Holy Spirit is the teacher of all things. He will teach you all things. He's a spirit. Who's he going to teach it about? God is a spirit. And it's when we get to understand that the Holy Spirit is going to reveal the Father. It says it in Ephesians 1:15 to 22, that Paul prayed that we would pray this prayer, that the spirit of wisdom and revelation would flood our hearts with light so that we can know the deep and the secret mysteries of God. How's that come? A lot of people say there's no more revelation. Well, that means that scripture, they got to throw that one out of the Bible. We get to know our God. Why? Because when we get near the Holy Spirit, He is going to reveal who the Father is. In fact, He's going to reveal the deep and the secret mysteries of our God. We get to know our God like nobody else. We might even take a trip to heaven, right, Karen? Let's go. You don't dare want to go there. Why not? John went there. Paul, they all went there. Why don't we want to go there? See? We got to understand who this Spirit is. This Spirit is literally designed to take us into a life that is amazing. And we've kind of sat back, I don't want to get too close to Him. He might take me out. Well, if He takes you out, you're in heaven. Don't worry about it. But I don't think He does that. But He does mess with us. Because what He has to do is change our thinking into the heavenly thinking. The mind of Christ thinking. This whole culture, there's going to move through this country. You're going to find more and more people talking about the spirit life and the mind of Christ. Because it's time you and I put on the mind of Christ and flow and function in the Holy Spirit. And it's coming. In fact, we're going to pray that God will release it in here today. Because we need it. Every one of us need it. Because how are we going to fight this war in Ephesians 6? You aren't going to fight it. You cannot fight this war in Ephesians 6. You can't fight this war against principalities, against despotisms, against the master spirits who are the world rulers at present darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Why is all the junk, all the movies on TV about the walking dead? Now we got the walking dead everywhere. You got people wearing shirts, zombie. Hello? Did you walk up out of the grave over here in Richland somewhere? You're a zombie? Really? We're living there. Our kids are being fed the line of this BS, and it's terrible. It's terrible. It's junk. They believe it. They get on their game. They probably got, I know they got zombie games. Well, you guys do back there in those, you guys know they got zombie games? They probably, yeah, look at it. Yeah, Lucas. Yeah, Levi knows. They got zombie games. Hello? Have they got them, Josh?
We know.
Okay, good. You guys don't. Hey. Good job, Nan. Boy, we got zombie games. It's crazy. You know, but that's how far we've gone. That's warfare. As parents, isn't that warfare? Is that warfare? Do you guys think it's warfare? Absolutely warfare. Because it's taking your children's minds and flushing it down the, you know what? Fill them with all kind of lies and deception and make believe. Oh, it's fun. No, it's not fun. Because guess what happens when they're 20 years old? Then they get on those other games where the zombies are just shooting and killing everybody. It's terrible. Why aren't our kids embracing the mind of Christ? Why aren't they embracing the Holy Spirit? Do they have to wait till they get to be older Christians before they run into the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. They need to know it today. What'd you do to me? You want to shut me off or what, buddy? That's okay. Here's another one. Number 5. Walk in all the light God gives you. Walk in all the light God gives you. That's in 1 John 1:7. Walk in all the light. How do you walk in all the light? You have to get in the presence of God. You've got to walk in all the light. Who is the light of the world? Name is Jesus. Walk in all the light. Get in the light. Stay out of the darkness. See, what happens is, when you are light and you walk into the darkness, what happens? There is a reaction. Did you know that? Your light, if we shut all the lights off, made it darker and dark, and we walked into this room and there was a rat over in that corner, he'd see the light that we bring in the room. We have that much power, but we're afraid to walk in the light. And God is telling us to walk in the light. All the light. Not just a little bit, but let's get all of it. That's Christ. Number 6, learn to know the Holy Spirit's voice. We've got to know the Holy Spirit's voice when He speaks to us. And I can tell a lot of our young people, the worship guys, everybody knows and understands the Holy Spirit speaking to them. You can tell by the anointing. Number 7, develop a familiarity with His ways and the ability to recognize His presence. That's in Hebrews 3, 10, 11. We have to know His ways. We've preached about knowing His ways. Steve has been talking about knowing His ways for years. We have got to know the ways of God. How He does it. Why? Because He wants us to do it. See, He wants us to do it. We're the vehicles. We're the instruments of the hand of God to do what He's asked us to do. We're it. Tag, you're it. You're it. Tag, you're it. God picked you, didn't He? Huh? Is there anybody else going to do it for you? And see, a lot of Christians expect the elders, the pastor, and the people, leaders in the church to do it. Sorry. That's not how it is it? You know. When something breaks in this church, who do we call? Mike. Fix it, Mike, right? Huh? When something spiritually goes wrong, who do we call? Steve. Why? Why do we call Steve? Why aren't we filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit so we don't have to call Steve, but we have enough of that love in our heart that God put in there to pray for that person and watch God heal him? Hello? We keep looking for this, you know, people are looking for this magic, this movement of God just going to come in and sweep the whole country. It's not going to happen that way. Do you know why? Because God is in the process of stirring up the Holy Spirit in every person who has given his heart to Christ. And He's going to begin to awaken them and stir them up and get them to a place where they're actually going to have to do it. They're either going to do it or they're not. And believe you me, there's a whole bunch of them that won't do it. Because the Bible says in the last days in Luke, the love of many will grow cold. Steve spoke about that a couple weeks ago. The love of many, it's going to grow cold. Why? Because when getting confronted by God, getting confronted by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, that you have a choice. See, our whole life is about choices. You realize everything you do, you have a choice. Are you going to do it God's way? Or are you going to do it man's way? See? You got a choice. You don't have to do it. You know, the interesting thing about the Holy Spirit, He doesn't force Himself upon you. But if you make a if you have a determination in your heart that you want to go down that road, He's there. See? He's right there. He is there. And the question I believe the Lord's asking is, are you going to put aside enough time during your day to spend some time getting to know your God? What have we all got? Time.
right? We all got time.
What are we going to do with our time? Is it for us or for Him? Do we have a desire to know God intimately and not more information about Him? We don't need to know any more information about Him. We need to know Him intimately. And that requires time. Are we going to obey Deuteronomy 6:5 to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, mind, body? Are we going to have a burning passion in our heart for Jesus? Do we have a burning passion in our heart for the lost? Do we love to pray and fast? Yeah. Do we love to pray and do we love to fast? What's fasting? Denying yourself. Do you have a desire to wait on your God? Or do you got to have it now? If you can't wait for God, you're in trouble. How can you go into the prayer room? He says, go into the prayer room, shut the door, and wait for your Father. You know, you got to wait. What happens if He doesn't show up? I think He'll show up if you wait. It might not be in 5, 10, 15 minutes, 2 minutes, or whatever. It might take an hour. But guess what? He will show up. He will touch you. That's what His Word says. And are we going to become passionate worshipers of God? Passionate worshipers. This is what it takes to know your God. And the thing is, are we going to go there? Are we going to go there? Are we going there? I don't know. You know, all you can do is ask the Lord what He, you know, all I can pray is that God will stir your hearts to know Him. All I can also pray, we can pray over you and ask you if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. See? God's here. He's here. He'll fill you with the Holy Spirit if you want it. He will. I mean, see, it says in Ephesians 5:18 to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. There's no one event that happens and that's over. This being filled with the Holy Spirit is a daily, during the day, constant thing. Because every situation God puts you in, you're going to need the Holy Spirit. And you can pray and say, God, fill me with the Holy Spirit for the situation I'm going into right now. I don't care if it's business, sports, whatever it is. God will fill you with the Holy Spirit when you go into this, whatever you're doing. We just got to ask Him. But see, most of us are afraid to ask Him. But the Bible says if you ask Him for something, will He say no to you? No. He'll come. He'll do it. And we have to get used to this relationship building process with our God. It's a relationship, daily, all day, relationship building process with our God. Amen? What do you think? Is that what you signed up for? Did you sign up for that? Well, I don't know if I signed up for that much. That's kind of crazy. No, it's not. It's the reality of the Christian life. It's been hidden. It's been hidden in division. You know, the sad thing about Azusa Street, after you do the study, you really study Azusa Street, which I've spent a lot of time studying it. It's amazing what happened at Azusa Street. It lasted a few years, and but the biggest critic of Azusa Street was the teaching that was going on at Dallas Theological Seminary. Those guys said it was not of God, it was of the devil. Phew. It's 100 and how many years? It's sad. It's just sad. But out of it, you got to remember what's birthed out of it. A lot of the holiness movement, the Pentecostal movement, the Assemblies of God movement, all those movements came out of Azusa Street. They came out strong. You got to realize Branham and all these old guys that were raised up. Did you know Bob Jones at one time was in a dispensational church? He got touched by the Holy Spirit. Those of us that know Bob Jones. You got to realize one thing. There are men that literally said, no, I believe there's more. And if you're in this room today and you believe there's more, you've got to go after the more. There's more of God. If you're not interested in going after the more of God, you're going to stagnate. You're just going to stop. And see, a lot of people believe, well, I can just get up on the riverbank and just kind of, I don't have to get in the river. I can just, look at those crazy fools out there flowing in the river of the Holy Spirit. I'm getting up here in the bank. It's kind of safe up here. I'm kind of tired of that. Wait a minute. That's crazy, isn't it? We got to get to know our God. Did I say it's going to be easy? No, it isn't that it's easy. It gets easier, but what happens to it? It becomes fun. It absolutely becomes fun. All of you are able to come up here and preach. Did you know that? That's what I believe. I can take brand new people, don't know much about Christ, take them into prison, turn them into preachers. They got a captive audience. What am I saying? I'm saying your life lays before you. I don't care if you're young or old, but the Holy Spirit is something that is constantly, constantly, constantly brooding over you to get us to move. All of us, me included. It's just not for the super Christians. It's for every one of us. And we got to get with what God's up to. Are we doing communion, Jay? Well, no, we can do it, yeah. We're going to pray, though, first. Okay. So if you're here today in this room and you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I want you to come up front. We'll pray for you. Don't be bashful. Just come on up. God will touch you. Thank you. There's Mark. Can I get Karen and Roger? Can you come help me? Yeah. Anybody else? Come on up. You don't have to be bashful. God's here. The Holy Spirit's here. Pam, we appreciate it. Just come. Because this is something we need the fullness of. Because He will give you wisdom. First of all, I'm going to end this with this. In Isaiah 11, it says, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of revelation, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of the knowledge of God, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Those are the seven spirits of God. They're represented in heaven by the seven the lampstand with the seven candlesticks. That is the Holy Spirit. That is what Jesus Christ was filled with. And we pray today that the Holy Spirit just come right now and move on everybody in this room. And these that have come forward. Karen, you just want to start praying for them? Find one. Come. Just touch your spirit, man. Just touch your spirit, man. Just touch it. Father, we're just... Mark, you've worried about this a lot. But guess what? You're free. You have the Holy Spirit because He's in your heart. You've got it. Just walk in it and believe in it. Now release the tongues of the language that you've given Mark to come forth out of his mouth.